This episode of Paranormal Perception is brought to you by the new book by Sabrina Marie, Two Realm Paranormal, Torn Between Realms. It's available right now on barnesandnoble.com. Or if you're not there already, go over to the Paranormal Perception website, paranormalperception.show. Scroll down a little on the homepage. There it is. You can get it there. And keep listening, because starting next Friday, I'm going to let you know how you can get yourself a free autographed copy for you or to give away for the paranormal enthusiast on your Christmas list. Paranormal Perception is a full-bodied apparition summoned by 22 Creations Multimedia LLC. You've found it. Your guide through the unknown. This is your guide through the new normal for the new decade. Paranormal Perception. Parapsychology.
Restless souls.
Cryptozoology. Disclosure. Ghosts. Artificial intelligence.
Unheard whispers.
Close your eyes. Open your ears and your mind. It is called the unknown for a reason.
By the end of this episode, you'll have a new perception on the paranormal.
A paranormal perception with Henry San Miguel. That's me. Welcome to Paranormal Perception. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. If you don't celebrate it, hope you're enjoying. If you're partaking in the this Black Friday thing we do after Thanksgiving, good luck. Be nice to each other out there. Be safe. So this is going to be a relaxing episode as we all try to finish up leftovers from, if you celebrated Thanksgiving, you've got a lot of turkey. Get used to turkey, because you're going to have a lot of it for the next couple weeks. Usually happens that way every year. But it's going to be a relaxing show, and I'm going to introduce you to somebody pretty interesting with an interesting story. Before we do that, though, a couple things. Number one, we're going to do something for the Christmas Eve episode. I was thinking, you know, what do we do? Halloween is easy, obviously, because it's paranormal perception. I don't even have to think about what do we talk about on the Halloween episode. And it was fun. Thanks to all of you who sent in your scary stories. But for Christmas, not really tied into the spooky, is it? It's more to the Black Friday is kind of part of it, tied into gift giving, getting together with families, the presents. If you're a Christian or a Catholic, it's the birth of Jesus. Not really into the spooky. That's not really what Christmas is about. However, I was talking to somebody. I remember who, and if you're listening, I'm sure they are, remind me, and I'll credit you either at the end of the episode if you text me or in an upcoming episode. But we were having a conversation, and I was asking them, I don't know what to do for the Christmas episode, because it's not, you know, we can't talk about Halloween because it's over. And the person, who was, I can't remember, but whoever it was, they said, you know, we, the country, that was a time when was it Leslie Bannatyne? No. I mean, it would make sense. She's a historian. But they were telling me, we used to tell ghost stories on Christmas. Yeah, the family was there, getting together with family. The gift giving was there. The religious aspect of it was there. But they also gathered, turned down the lights, turned on the fire, and told ghost stories on Christmas Eve into Christmas Day. Around Victorian time, maybe a little bit early, but definitely during Victorian times, that was a tradition tied into Christmas. Got away from that. I mean, out of that, arguably the most well-known, the most famous Christmas ghost story, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, came out of that. But we got away from that for something. It's more commercial, as you know. Well, literally, you've been seeing the commercials since before Halloween. I mean, come on. We haven't had Halloween, but you're seeing the Christmas commercials now for sure. So that's more the focus of Christmas. But here on Paranormal Perception, it's called Paranormal Perception for a reason. You guys like the spooky. Halloween's easy, like I said. Christmas, a little bit harder. Not anymore. If this works out, and I think it will, this is going to become our Paranormal Perception annual Christmas tradition. The Christmas Eve show will be your ghost stories. So head on over. If you're not there already, head on over to paranormalperception.show. That's the website. The start recording button is there. You can share a ghost story, one that you just made up, your encounter, real life encounter with the other side. If you are a musician and you want to share Haunting the Beautiful song, you can do that also. Everything, whatever you contribute, will all be played back on Friday, December 24th, the Christmas Eve episode right here. Now, there is a limit, 5 minutes, so you know, especially if you're going to share a song with us, that's fine, but keep it to 5 minutes or under 5 minutes. Don't give us a, you know, 30-minute opera, epic opera, because it ain't going to fit. So just keep it to 5 minutes or less, your story, your song, whatever you're going to share. And like I said, you're going to hear it back on the Christmas Eve episode, Friday, December 24th, right here on Paranormal Perception. The other thing, I mentioned it, I think it was last week or the week before that. I think it was the week before that when I said we're going to do the Christmas ghost stories and there might be gifts. Well, literally, there might be. Not this week, though, because something happened called, this is why I need a producer or a guest booker on the show. Doing both shows as we wrap up for the year, I just got a little bit busy. So I didn't have a chance to, I almost said what it was. Still going to try to surprise you, although you can kind of guess. I'm going to have something up next week. I know it's getting into December, the final weeks of the year, and we all start relaxing a little bit more. I won't. I promise. I'll have it up. You'll be able to give, you guys guessed it pretty much. You're going to be able to wear the shirts that you've seen me wear at Paracons and some other things that will be there for you just in time for Christmas, for the holidays. How about that? So you'll see that coming up next week for sure. This time, I promise I'm going to make time. So that's why you're not seeing it now, but next week for sure, you're going to see it there. So there you go. That's what's happening. Now let's get on to the episode. Like I said, I'm going to introduce you to somebody who's got a pretty interesting story. I know I say that with all the guests, but Brian Klum from Planet Paranormal, he actually does. He considers himself a skeptic, not a non-believer. Well, you'll see. First, though, as always, a little bit more info on To Run Paranormal's book. If you're wondering what to give the paranormal enthusiast on your Christmas gift lists, well, how about the new book by Sabrina Marie, Two Realm Paranormal, Torn Between Realms? I mean, it's a great introduction to the paranormal from a mother-daughter team with over 30 years of real-life experience. They're not TV personalities, there's no acting involved in their investigations, just communication with the other side using their extraordinary gifts. Two Realm Paranormal, Torn Between Realms is available now on BarnesandNoble.com. or on the ParanormalPerception.show website. Plus, keep listening every Friday to find out how you can win an autographed copy of Two Realm Paranormal, Torn Between Realms by Sabrina Marie. Or just go to www.ParanormalPerception.show.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please be seated? Our program is about to resume.
Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel. And we're back on Paranormal Perception. This week, I'm going to introduce you to Brian Klum, who is he's a historian, he's a paranormal researcher, he's an author, he's also a member of Planet Paranormal Investigations, because he's their historian also, and he's now on Paranormal Perception. Brian, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So let's start at the beginning before we get into the investigations. How'd you interest in the paranormal? How did it start? Where did that come from?
Well, I actually grew up in a haunted house, but it wasn't one of these haunted houses, you know, that were scary or that we were worried about. It turns out that it was actually my father who was haunting the house. My dad died when I was really young. I had just turned three, and we started to realize, well, and this was when I got a little bit older, of course, that I started to realize that these weird things were him basically just being my dad. I know that sounds a little weird, but, you know, things would disappear that he probably wouldn't want me to have, like a very large sheath knife.
Yeah.
But the strange thing is after my mother passed away, all activity in the house stopped. Hmm. So we kind of figured that my dad was just sort of hanging around and waiting to pass on and go with my mother as well.
Yeah, so you know what well, I was going to say? On this show, number one, no, it doesn't sound strange. Two, I kind of saw that in my own family with, you know, my dad wasn't, I thought he was around, but it turned out it was somebody else entirely. But I've heard other people say that their dad or their mom, whoever it is, they do hang around, and then when they're together in the afterlife, the activity ceases. So that could also be proof that we do rejoin our loved ones in the afterlife.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's face it, with that belief, it kind of gives us all a bit of hope as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you? Would you describe yourself as a skeptic, or when did you start believing in the afterlife?
Well, here's the thing. I 100% believe in ghosts and spirits. I have had way too many things happen to me to be a disbeliever. However, I am still a skeptic. Now, for me, a true skeptic is not somebody, you know, from the Society for Skeptical Inquiry. Those people are just closed-minded. To me, a true skeptic is somebody who keeps an open mind and who believes while keeping critical thinking. So for me, I don't go into haunted locations just automatically thinking they're haunted. I look for reasons why they wouldn't be. So that's where my skepticism comes in. And then also, when I hear people talk about, oh my God, that's the most haunted place I've ever been to. And then the following week, they've gone somewhere else and they put, oh my God, that's the most haunted place I've ever been to. And then the following week after that, oh my God, it's, you know, and I start thinking to myself, okay, I'm one of the worst investigators that ever lived, or they're making stuff up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let me go back a little bit. What you're saying, you also, would you not describe yourself as a debunker?
I'm not a debunker per se, because I don't go in specifically to disprove the spirits. I go in and try and keep an open mind to what might be going on. And one of the reasons for that is we've done quite a few home cases, at least upwards of 100. And out of that, I believe 2 were actually paranormal. Hmm. So, you know, that's why I have the skepticism. We found, logical, mundane reasons, in all of the other cases. So do I go into debunk? No, but I do go in with an open mind to all possibilities.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because calling yourself a debunker kind of has a negative connotation to it, because you're on purposely going in there to say, no, it's this or that. You, on the other side, you're looking, like you said, for a scientific reason, for a logical reason why. You're not saying that it couldn't be a spirit. It could. But let's eliminate the scientific, the obvious first. So that is a big difference.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that we tell any prospective client right off the bat is that unless things are so off the hook when we go in there, we can't tell a client, you know, for sure whether the place is haunted or not. And, you know, we'll tell them, you know, it might take us 3, 4, 5 investigations or more to be able to give you any kind of an answer, because ghosts are, you know, they don't act on cue. So, you know, unless a location is just so active that there is no denying that there are spirits present, you know, it's one of those things where it takes time.
Yeah. Now, like I mentioned at the top, you're a historian. So did the interest in history come because of the experience of your dad's ghost, or is it tied into your interest in history at all, the paranormal, I mean?
Well, to be perfectly honest, about the only history I was interested in growing up was World War II. And the reason for that was specifically because of my father. He was a left waist gunner in B-24, was shot down, was part of the Nazi death march, but I had no information about him. Now, once I got into the paranormal, at first, my team was actually making fun of me because I'd be walking around, and Planet Paranormal actually had an office on board the Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be walking around going, I'm not feeling anything. I'm not feeling anything. I'm not getting anything. And so the rest of the team would just rib me nonstop. But I was having so much fun with them, and we were all just getting along so great that I kind of stuck with it. And then one thing happened, and I started to realize, okay, yeah, there really are other ghosts out here other than my father. And then I started to realize just how important history was to paranormal investigation. If you really think about it, when we go in to investigate a spirit, we're actually investigating a piece of the history of the location we're investigating. So that really just piqued my interest into history, and I just dove into it head first and haven't been able to stop since.
Yeah, and besides the obvious, you know, using getting EVPs, RAM pods, the usual tools, I'll say, is there a difference in the way you would research history and the way you research the paranormal side of any location you go to?
Well, I use the history of the location to further the investigation. If you look at, we'll use TV as a reference. If you look at paranormal TV shows, you have these investigators who go into a location, and I've noticed this with actual paranormal groups. They'll go in, they'll sit down, and they'll go, is there somebody here? Why are you here? How come you stayed here? Are you planning on going? You know, and they ask all of these questions, and you have to wonder, is the ghost sitting around going, oh my God, they're asking the same darn questions again? And the spirit has to be getting bored with that, right?
Yeah.
So when the Queen Mary, when we started to really investigate there, have you heard of Jackie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the little girl Jackie, yeah.
So because we wanted to get as much information about her as possible so we could, you know, try and communicate with her on her level, I just went into Ellis Island trying to find, because Peter James had named her Jacqueline Turrett, and we could not find this name anywhere. But when you investigate a location, you can ask the spirits pointed questions rather than just, is there somebody here? Why are you here? And things like that. You know, so for Jackie, we realized that, okay, yes, she did pass away by drowning in the second class pool. So we would ask questions regarding whether, you know, her mother knew she had gone to the pool. Was her mother with, you know, and things like that, rather than just, why are you still here, Jackie? So we use the history to be able to hopefully communicate on a deeper level with the spirits, if that makes sense.
It does. It does make sense. You actually got me thinking, because you're right. I mean, I'm actually thinking about the other show that I do, not the paranormal one, but the other show that I do where I interview actors. I actually learned this from Tom Hanks, where when they're on the red carpet, it's the same thing you just said. They get the same question over and over and over and over. So if a living person gets tired of getting asked the same question, yeah, I can imagine the spirits is like, why are you here? How long have you been? It's like, again? Yeah, I never thought of that, but yes, it makes perfect sense. And a little tease for all of you listening, we're going to play some EVPs from some of Brian's investigations. We might have a couple of Jackie EVPs, so stay tuned for that. So like I mentioned, also you're an author, so talk about, did the books come before or after you started investigating?
The books actually came after I started investigating, but I have wanted to be a writer since I was about 11 years old. Now, this is going to sound kind of silly on my part, But I had been with Planet Paranormal for a couple years, and I was thinking to myself, huh, I wonder if there's any books. How come nobody writes about this stuff? So I went to my buddy Bob and Ash and asked them about that, and they both just kind of laughed at me, and they're like, Brian, there are a whole bunch of books like this out there. And I was like, really? Okay, well, I guess I never looked. So I started to make notes on our investigations, and I think it was Bob that looked at it and went, dude, have you ever thought about writing? Because those notes are pretty detailed. And I was kind of like, I don't know. He goes, well, why don't we give it a shot? So we started writing. The first book that we started was California's Historic Haunts. Now, to be perfectly honest with you, I wish that book would just go away. other people like it, but I look at it and go, no, my God, I can't believe I wrote that. So, you know, that was our first book, and I think I've gotten better as I went along. Dear God, I hope I have.
Well, wait, I mean, when you say that, what is it? Is it the way you investigated the what don't you like about it?
Well, I went really history heavy on it. It's about 80% history and about 20% paranormal. And at the time that I did that, I was thinking, okay, well, I don't want to put too much paranormal in it so people aren't affected by what I wrote, so they can go out and have their own experience. But then I started to realize, okay, well, I'm not giving them enough information. So I've changed as far as that goes. And for a lot of new authors, I think we all are kind of in the same boat. I keep looking at it and going, huh, semicolons. What the heck is with all those dang semicolons? You know, and just things like that.
Okay. Yeah, and I have a link for all of you listening. I have a link to all the books, so you guys can get them if you don't have them. But one of them that I want to don't give it all away, obviously, but one that really interests me and I'm getting for sure is Haunted Universal Studios. Because I've had guests on here before who are former Disneyland cast members, and they've talked about how Disneyland is haunted, really haunted, not just a haunted mansion, but it really is haunted. But I never knew or even thought to think that Universal Studios is haunted. So without giving everything away, like I said, how is Universal Studios haunted?
Well, now, the main part of the book, as far as the haunts go, have to do with the amusement park. Now, there are some sections of the back lot that are haunted, but it's mainly regarding the amusement park. So the upper lot of the amusement park, there are some ghosts involved with the studio tour, and then the lower lot. And how that came about, Bob and I were taking his daughter and his son-in-law to Universal Studios, and me being me, I just had to ask an employee, so are there any ghosts around here? And I was kind of joking. And the guy kind of looks around a little bit, and he gets all conspiratorial, and he goes, yeah, as a matter of fact, this place right here has a whole lot of stuff happening. So that piqued my interest. So the rest of the time I was at Universal Studios with them, they're going on rides and they're going and checking things out. I'm going and talking to employees. So are there any ghosts in here? Are there any ghosts? And I started to realize, oh my Lord, there's all kinds of hauntings here. Are you familiar with Sid Schultz?
Yeah.
Okay, so Sid used to work at Universal Studios as part of the Waterworld show. He played Deacon, the head bad guy in the show. And we're friends, so I started to ask him about it. So he started telling me a bunch of things. And by the way, Sid, great guy. He actually wrote the foreword for Haunted Universal Studios. I just want to give a shout out to him. Loved it. Great forward. So every single one of the ghost stories in Haunted Universal Studios comes from one of the employees. And the worst part about writing that book is I had to, for 2 years, I had to get a year long, you know, an annual pass and go to Universal Studios and have a good time. It was horrible, just horrible, having to do that research. But it was funny because I was going there so often that I'd be walking down one of the walkways and somebody from that works there would look over and goes, "Hey, it's the ghost dude." So they actually started to get to know me there.
Yeah, but what is, without, again, without giving too much away, is because in Disneyland, from the cast members, what haunts Disneyland is, and I wasn't aware of this, and you want to look twice before you sit down next time you go to Disneyland, it's because people, hidden, of course, they bring in their loved ones' ashes and they sprinkle them on the rides, and that, you know, that creates that energy there. So that's why, and some people have actually passed away in the park. That's what creates the spirits that are there. So with Universal, is it that, or is it something else that creates the paranormal energy that's there?
It's a little bit of both. There is one little girl, and I'm staying one, but it could be a couple different ones. But there was a little girl quite a few years ago when the Simpson ride was the Back to the Future ride, and she had a brain aneurysm, didn't know it, and the ride caused it to burst, and she passed away on the ride. Mm. She is still seen on what is now the Simpsons ride. There is also a little girl on the lower lot. I'm not going to go into the haunts of that because that's more fun to read. Trust me on that one. And then Lucille Ball has been seen in the area that used to be her dressing room. Steven Spielberg, this is one that I thought was really interesting. Steven Spielberg, when he was first had his office at Universal Studios, his office was Alfred Hitchcock's old office. And Spielberg actually had to leave and change offices because he said he was tired of having Alfred Hitchcock look over his shoulder, and he felt like he was judging him for the movies he was doing. So that one kind of I always got a kick out of. And then the oldest spirit at Universal Studios dates from the second day of the grand opening in 1915. And this one was, this spirit was discovered by John Murtry when he was getting ready to produce the Halloween Horror Nights. And he saw this ghost and he had this idea. Okay, well, why is this ghost here? The ghost is Stites, John Stites. And he crashed his airplane after a failed stunt. I'm not going to go into the stunt. Again, this one's a lot more fun to read. But it turns out that Stites, all he wants is to be remembered. So the Universal Studios actually keeps a mannequin dressed as a 1915 aviator in the area where Stites crashed. And as long as that mannequin stays there, his ghost is not seen. So that one, I think, is really an interesting story.
Yeah, yeah. And again, for all of you listening, I have a link to all of Brian's books on the show description. Just click on that if you because you definitely want to get that one if you're local to, and you've been to Universal and you never even knew or thought that it was haunted. Definitely a good read. So let me have you talk about how did you find Planet Paranormal and how did you join up with them?
So my oldest son was aging out of Boy Scouts, and I was still in the troop as Scoutmaster because my youngest son and my nephew were in there. My oldest son and I started to kind of drift apart, and I was looking for something to do with him, and he suggested we go ghost hunting. I suggested he find a psychiatrist, but he convinced me to look for a group, and I found Pacific Ghost Hunting Society. And over the course of a couple years, a lot of the group kind of split apart. Bob Davis had ended up buying Planet Paranormal Radio, which is a radio hub of archived paranormal shows. And once Pacific Ghost Hunting Society broke up, everybody that was still part of the group was like, well, why don't we just call it Planet Paranormal? Because it you know, it seems logical. You own the radio hub. We'll just, you know, become the group. And that's basically how it started. And now, unfortunately, because one of our members, Ash, had committed suicide a few years ago. His wife moved away from the team and started her own family. So basically now it's just Bob and I. But we're still going strong. Bob has kind of been out of the picture for a year or two doing some real estate deals. But luckily, those are about to all close, and he is really anxious to get back. And I really can't wait because, you know, going solo on a lot of investigations is like no bueno.
Yeah. Yeah, for many, many reasons. In fact, we'll get into a lot of those reasons, some of the investigations. And like I said, we might even play some EVPs for you guys right after this break. Before we do that, though, here's a little info on how all of you listening can share your ghost stories for our Christmas Eve Paranormal Perception episode. So for whatever reason, you didn't get a chance to record your ghost story for the Halloween episode, huh? Well, don't worry about it, because here's another chance for you. This year's Christmas episode goes back to a long-forgotten Christmas tradition. We're going to be telling ghost stories on Christmas Eve. You can share your brush with the other side, a haunting story, a poem or song, anything spooky to share on a cold Christmas Eve with all of the Paranormal Perception listeners. All you got to do is go to the show's website, www.paranormalperception.show, and click on the orange Start Recording button. Now, when you do, you're going to hear your recording on Friday, December 24th, 1 week before the Paranormal Perception season finale.
This is the world that you know.
Paranormal Perception continues with Henry San Miguel.
And with Brian Klum from Planet Paranormal Investigations. So, Brian, let's talk about what was your first investigation that you conducted with Planet Paranormal?
That would have been the Queen Mary. It was the Queen Mary. And at that time, I didn't have any perception, shall we say. And people were kind of going, "You're not hearing that?" I'm like, "No." And like I'd said earlier, I was kind of closed off, shall we say. Maybe it's because I was just having too much fun, basically urban spelunking, as it were, to really pay attention to what was going on around me. Even though I knew for a fact that there were ghosts, because like I said, you know, growing up with my father in the house, but they, like I said, the guys that I was hanging around with were like looking at me like, "You're an idiot." So, you know, and it took Grumpy on the Queen Mary. For those who don't know, Grumpy is a spirit on the Queen Mary. We have no idea who this man is. Bob Davis actually named him Grumpy because he just growls at people. You'll literally be in the pool and he'll just kind of go at you when you're walking by. And it can get really kind of creepy. But Grumpy actually growled in my ear when I was in a 3-foot corridor, so there couldn't have been anybody near me. And I think that actually woke me up to start paying a little bit more attention. And once I started to pay attention, I started to realize how much I had been missing by not taking it seriously.
So
if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, what it sounds like is there was no, like, investigating 101, or it was just basically, all right, let's go to the Queen Mary or wherever and just do it. Is that kind of how it happens?
Yes and no. Bob and the other people who had been doing it for a while would try and tell me, okay, do it like this, or hey, maybe try this. And I think what it was is I was just, like I said, I was kind of ignoring it in a way, because I was looking at it more as strictly fun rather than an actual investigation. I think that's one of the reasons that they had gotten so frustrated with me. There was no thought of kicking me off the team because, I mean, I wasn't causing problems or anything. I just wasn't taking it as seriously as they'd like, even though they were trying to show me the ropes. So, you know, that's on me, not on them.
Well, I mean, and this is me. I mean, if I was starting the group, I would want, honestly, someone like you, someone who, not like we talked at the beginning, not a debunker, not who on purpose goes in there like, nah, that's not true, it's not true. I would want somebody who's intelligently skeptic, I'll say, so, just so that we can see his or her growth when, like you said, when you do start experiencing the evidence and then you see, well, yeah, it's real, it's for real. So I would like to have a person like that. So, I mean, did they tell you that's why they kept you on? Because they were kind of looking for something like that?
They never mentioned that, but they knew that I wasn't going in there specifically trying to say that, you know, there's no ghosts here.
Yeah.
And like I said, we were all having, you know, a good time. Now, And I'm sure it's the same with you. When we go to places like the Queen Mary, it's completely different than if we are going into a client's home. We treat it completely different. The Queen Mary, yeah, we do investigations, but it's more of a for us and for, you know, our own edification. When we're going into a client's home, it is for them, not for us. So, you know, I think what I was doing is I was having trouble separating the two at first. But then I started to realize just how important the investigation is. And yeah, you can still have fun, but take it serious and keep your senses open.
But from all the investigations you've done now with the Planet Paranormal, is there one that you would consider your favorites for whatever reason?
Define favorite.
Either not fun, like in we had a lot of fun with hanging out, but the one that gave you the most compelling evidence, at least to you.
That would have been Wolf Manor, I think. Now, we have captured some very compelling evidence on the Queen Mary. Bob and I had a 17-minute conversation, basically audible conversation with Jackie back in 2009, but Wolf Manor seemed to have the most consistent activity. I don't know if you're familiar with Wolf Manor. Unfortunately, it no longer exists. The city of Clovis actually tore it down, which was really sad. But the Wolf Manor actually started off as a private residence, then morphed into a hospital, a psychiatric residence, and then finally a retirement home. Now, in its iteration as a retirement home, they were basically just cramming as many people as they could into the home to collect the welfare money. And just literally treating the people horribly. The paramedics that would come would say they would actually have to step over other people to get to the person that they wanted to tend to. So the state finally came in, closed them down, and then Todd Wolf bought it. And it just, I mean, the amount of activity, we were there 4 times. And the amount of activity every single time we went there was just off the hook.
You said it was called Wolf Manor?
Wolf Manor.
Yeah. What was the evidence you got when it was still Wolf Manor?
Wolf Manor is the only place I have ever seen an apparition, and it was actually a half-bodied apparition. We had finished with our investigation, and Bob and I were up in what was called the black room because it was painted all black. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of gathering up the equipment that we had put in there. And Bob was facing the wall, and all of a sudden he gasped. And I kind of looked at him like, what the heck is with you? And he's all, dude, a face just appeared in front of me. And I was like, oh, come on. Because I was standing literally. He was facing the wall, and I was on his right, and I would have been able to see the face. or at least I would have thought.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like telling him, Bob, come on. You didn't see a face. Oh, I'm telling you, I did. So I glanced up because I thought our friend Tom Durant had just walked into the room. So I look up. I'm like, hey, Tom, do you? And I just stopped. And I was just staring. Bob turns because he thought it was Tom as well. And he does the exact same thing. He stopped right in the middle of a sentence and he just started staring. What we were staring at was a completely solid set of legs in jeans with no torso attached. It was just belt, jeans, tennis shoes, nothing above it. And we're standing there staring at it, and all of a sudden it just disappeared. So being that it's the only place I have ever actually seen an apparition, that's one of the reasons I say, you know, that is probably my most favorite. And I mean, some of the things we had happen there, we would hear gurneys going down the hallways, even though there's no gurneys there. We had a whistle fight with some ghosts in the basement, which was hilarious. I had somebody following me up the stairs, even though when I turned, there wasn't anybody there. You know, and just things like that.
Yeah, well, because was Wolf Banner like a hospital or something?
It was. It was a hospital, okay. I believe, in the late 1940s or mid-1940s. And then also, like I said, it was a retirement home in the late 70s through, I believe, 1987, when the state finally shut it down. And they did have gurneys at that time.
Okay, which makes sense now, because I was when you were saying that, I was wondering why did it become, you know, hospital, that something in medicine or in health, but now it makes sense because that's actually what it started out as. So yeah, that makes sense. Well,
it actually started off as a private residence. You'll have to pardon me, I cannot remember the owner's name, but him and his brother were having a I guess a competition to see who could build the biggest house. And so, I mean, Wolf Manor was huge. It was a very, very large house, which is probably why it ended up, you know, becoming a hospital and then a psych ward and everything else.
Yeah. Which, you know, through all its iterations, no matter what it became, as you know, as you guys know, no matter what it becomes, whatever activity was there before, it doesn't go away. It may even probably intensify. Did you get any reports from people in the the psych ward and everything that as it went through, that they were still getting the same things that you guys got?
Well, the Todd used to have a thing called Wolf Manor Live, and what he would do is he would invite paranormal teams up to investigate the house. And he would have a live internet broadcast while they were doing it. And Todd never charged money for any of this. I got to say, Todd is really a really nice guy. Wolf Manor was on Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, and Dead Files. And one of those shows raked him over the coals, which was just wrong. I just want to say, you know, Todd was fantastic. He never charged anybody to come in and investigate. He just wanted people to be able to have a place where they could learn and you know, discover the paranormal. But if you ever watched Wolf Manor Live, there were all kinds of things that that happened live while you watched. So, you know, what we experienced was not unique at all.
Okay. So let's start wrapping up by having a little bit of fun. Like I said, let's start with the EVPs. And actually, you were talking about Grumpy a second ago. There's three that we can play. Do you want to play a Grumpy growl so they can hear it?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's do... there's one in... Well, they're both in the pool area. Is there one that you think would be better? One or two?
Which Grumpies do you have?
One that just says Grumpy Growl captured in the pool area, Grumpy Growl 2 also captured in the pool area.
Yeah, do Grumpy Growl 1, if I remember right. That's the better one.
Okay, here it here. This is an EVP with Grumpy.
If you walk up to the device in my hand, what is your name?
There you go. There's the growl.
Yeah, and that's actually a short one. Grumpy likes to literally, he'll come up right next to you and just go, and just walk away. It's like, okay, dude, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah,
you know,
and
he's a character,
and no one knows who or what or why he likes to growl.
There are some theories that he might be Second Officer Stark, who died drinking tetrahydrochloride, thinking it was gin, and he burned his throat. There is also a theory that he is a man who murdered a woman who they found in the pool, and then he committed suicide when they were getting close to him. And he committed suicide underneath the pool stairs. So those are the two theories, but we're not sure which one is accurate.
Okay. So let's go to Alcatraz, because you know I used to live in San Francisco, so that one I am very familiar with. So for Alcatraz, what's a good one to play for them?
Jacob, because that one is strange.
Okay, so here's the I'm Jacob EVP.
If there is a doctor in here, could you tell us your name?
Yeah, you can clearly hear that one.
Now, does that sound like a child?
It does.
A young boy?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, it does.
Yeah, and we have no idea. We caught that in the surgical room in the medical ward of the prison itself, not in the family area. So it's really bizarre that you would have that type of a voice that sounds like a young boy the prison proper. And the funny thing about that one is the following year we spent the night on Alcatraz again and caught the exact same voice,
but
in a different room.
I was gonna say, really, knowing Alcatraz, any place in Alcatraz, it would be weird to get a child's voice, because there were no kids that were imprisoned on Alcatraz.
No, but there were children that lived on Alcatraz.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one of the things that now I can see getting it down in where the family area used to be, which is mainly gone now, but not in the prison itself.
Yeah, not in the prison. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So is that the best one from Alcatraz, or is there another one we should play from there?
Well, now Planet Paranormal was the first ones to investigate the Sally Ports, which is in the lower section of the prison. And you have one that I believe it's says what and oh my God. There are two different ones.
Yeah, you on both of them?
Yeah, play both of them.
Okay, let's start with oh my God. Here's that one. Yeah, I'll play it one more time in case you guys missed it.
And then what? Now, what actually came before oh my God?
Okay. Here's that one. Yeah. Yeah, you can hear that one actually clear. Here, let me one more time with that one again. Yeah, you can hear it on the back. What?
Now, this is where history comes in. The Sally Port has a square hole in it. The hole leads down into what would have been the very first prison on the island back in the Civil War days. And we were trying to figure out, well, now why are we catching a woman's voice on the island in an area of the original prison when there were no women even really allowed on the island at the time?
Mm-hmm.
And when I was researching that, it turns out that there was a typhoid epidemic in the holding cell. And I'm calling it a holding cell, but it was actually the original prison. They just crammed people in. So what they did is they brought nurses over from San Francisco to tend to the prisoners who had typhoid. Well, it turns out one of the nurses contracted typhoid and they wouldn't let her out. And she passed away down there.
Mm.
So we figure that the female voice that we caught was this brave nurse who came over from San Francisco.
Yeah. See, and again, like you said, that's where history comes in. That's why I'm not sure why they research, but this is just me. Every paranormal team should have a historian on the team, just so you know. So I know a lot of the teams, they like going in blind, which is fine, but it and we're hearing it from you. It's better if you actually know some of the history, so that number one, you're not asking the same questions over and over and over that I keep hearing, like we said earlier. So yeah, good idea to have a historian, at least somebody that knows the history of where you guys are going.
Right, and I completely agree with you on that.
Yeah, the Jerome, Arizona. What was that investigation?
So Jerome was actually the very first time that I had ever gone on a trip with Planet Paranormal. And the Jerome Grand Hotel is where I caught my first audible.
Mm.
My first audio, period. And there's the Gold King Mine, which was actually a small town itself. We had spent the night there and had some really interesting activity within the town itself. Then the following night, we were in the Jerome Grand, where we caught a whole bunch of EVPs, of people talking. Again, gurneys, because it was originally the Phelps Dodge Hospital. A strange audible, like I said. It was the first one I ever caught. I was on the balcony, and as I walked back into the bedroom that we were investigating, you hear what sounds like a little girl or a girl going, "Ouch!" And when I put it on the computer and started to analyze it, I noticed that it was really bizarre, because the "ouch" that I heard was actually like the fourth "ouch." The it's kind of a combination EVP audible. If you actually listen to it, what you hear is "ouch, ouch, ouch." So it kind of has this buildup. It was really bizarre.
Is that in here?
I don't know whether that one is in there. I don't think it is.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'm looking at the list. I don't see one that says "ouch."
Which ones do you have?
We have the first one is 2, captured in the dental office. I'm in here. It's down here. Thank you. Tally soup for the people.
Now that one's an interesting one. That one, if I remember right, is Bill Murphy asking the question, and then you hear somebody go, "Tally soup for the people." So if you want to play that one's kind of interesting.
Okay, here it is.
Is there anybody here that would like to talk to us?
Yeah, that one's a little hard to hear.
Yeah. Let me play it one more time.
Is there anybody here that would like to talk to us?
Now, I don't know what your sensors would think, but if you could find one, there's one that's actually, we were laughing our butts off. It was, we were standing outside the
Goodbye, Cuban thank you.
Queen. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I can play that one here. We'll let see if everybody can figure it out first, and I'll let you talk about it. Here it is.
All right.
Yeah, one more time.
I'm not hearing anything.
Oh, we got it. They're hearing it. Played it twice there. So go ahead and if they can't pick up what it is, go ahead and tell them. No sensors here, so go ahead and tell them what it says.
Oh, okay. So we were standing outside the Cuban Queen brothel crib where the soiled doves lived. And we had been doing an EVP session, and Bob starts to say goodbye. You know, thank you and goodbye. Mm-hmm. So we hear this EVP of a couple people going, bye, thank you. And then you hear this guttural, fucker. And yeah. I mean, we just started cracking up because the day earlier, Bob got an EVP from the same area of somebody calling him a bendejo.
Yeah.
So
that that's actually, you know, here, like, too.
Yeah. So apparently they didn't like Bob much.
Yeah. Let me get that one, actually. That's down here. That's a short one. Yeah, one more. Yeah, that was a little harder to hear, but yeah, there they are. So yeah, apparently for whatever reason, they that was Bob, you said, they didn't like him?
Yeah, they apparently didn't like Bob much. Yeah. So we never let him live that one down, ever.
And never. It's right here for him to hear over and over and over. And,
uh-huh, exactly.
And for all of you listening, I have the website linked up there. There's a lot more. There's video. There's all kinds of evidence that they have on parainvestigations.com. Again, linked on the show description. You guys can go there after you're done listening to us and watch and listen to all their evidence. Now, for you, Brian, well, for the whole group, is there... We met each other at a month ago at during Vulture City Paracon. But as a group, are you, and I know we're coming to the end of the year, but are you guys going to be anywhere else before the end of the year?
I'm going to be vending next month at the Las Vegas Para-Unity Convention. And I just got back, like I said, from Texas. I was speaking at the History, Haunts, and Legends Paracon out there. But after December, don't really have anything planned. I'm cramming on two different books for the publisher right now, California's Haunted Route 66 and Haunted Southern California. So I have to have those in. So I'm going to be kind of concentrating on that because I'm kind of pushing deadline. Also, if you don't mind, anybody that's interested can go to briankloon.com and check out my blog. I write under the name Paratraveler. And my blogs are designed so people can have their own paranormal weekends. So I tell people where you can stay that's haunted, where you can eat that's haunted, and things to do in the towns I write about that are haunted. So it's kind of like you're the paranormal Rick Steves, as it were, for anybody that knows who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll link that up on the show description. Just click on Brian's name. It'll take you to everywhere that Brian just mentioned. So, again, Brian, thanks a lot for coming on. You have a very interesting story, and I hope to have you back again. And maybe next time we can get some more of the team members on also.
Yeah, please. That would be great. Get Bob on when he's not quite as busy. But listen, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. Since we're getting close, I'll wish you, your family, happy holidays and a safe and happy new year, and hope for the best in 2022.
And same to you.
Next week is December. It's, we start, you know, the end, the wrap up. The season finale will be, I think, the right a couple of days before the new year, before New Year's Eve. And it's last year we did predictions for obvious reasons. We were going through this thing called 2020. We know what that means. This year, unfortunately, not as horrible, actually more horrible. So we definitely want to know what's coming next for us personally, for the world, for the country. So I'll have some people, some astrologers, and especially financial astrologer. I know a lot of you who have been unfortunately furloughed, you lost your jobs, or your businesses were forced to close due to the mandates and all the things that are required because of COVID or other things that are going on. So we'll definitely talk about that. What is happening with our money? How do we make more in 2022? So that'll be the season finale. And on the website, again, record your story. So we'll be all ready. Next week, the guest will be somebody that you've seen on a couple of shows on the Travel Channel. I think one is coming back. The other one may be on Discovery Plus now, but one is coming back for sure. And he also has a very interesting story. Interesting because once he comes on, you'll know, you'll recognize him. But his story, the way it goes and what he does still for a living, You wouldn't think he's a paranormal investigator, but he is. You'll see that story next week. So come on back next week and we'll give you a new perception on the paranormal.
And that was Paranormal Perception. The facts and opinions heard on this episode are those of the guest and host of Paranormal Perception. If they make you uncomfortable or cause you to question your outlook on life, good, you're waking up. Continue that journey on the show's official website, paranormalperception.show. Contact Henry with questions, comments, or if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, henry@paranormalperception.show. Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel.